We could all stand. Before our bishop comes and preaches this morning, I'd like to take and just say a few words. He doesn't really need an introduction. Most all of you know who he is. But I had the honor, along with my aunt and uncle and my son-in-law and my brother and my sister-in-law, Lori, of being able to take and be there at the superintendent's ball, I guess is what they called it, grand ball, at the beginning of the conference when my father was inducted into the UPCEI Hall of Faith. I know there are times when dads probably look at their sons and say, I'm so proud of you as a son. But I have to say, I'm so proud of you as a dad. I couldn't ask. You couldn't ask for anything better. And it's just such an honor and a privilege to be able to follow after you in ministry. Hopefully be able to continue to follow your example, Dad. I love you. Appreciate you. It's an honor to be able to just work with him as we grow old together, as we work in the kingdom of God. So our newly elected Bishop John W. Grant, inducted into UPCI Hall of Faith.
Praise God. I still don't know how they select people for the particular honor that they gave to me. And I'm still shocked because it's hard for me to believe that it actually happened. I'm serious with you. When they called and told me that I had been selected to be inducted into the honor of faith, which is the highest honor that they give to ministers in the United Pentecostal Church. I thought they made a mistake. It's for somebody else. They said, now you'll get a letter from Brother Bernard. And sure enough, I did. And I tried not to think of it too much because I just got all confused. But I do appreciate I appreciate United Pentecostal Church. I appreciate Calvary Gospel Church. I appreciate our leaders. I appreciate all of you. And thank you, Roy, for your introduction of me. It has indeed been an honor to work with Pastor Roy these last 12 years. I think about 12 years. As you know, Roy is a hard worker. And he doesn't let any grass grow under his feet. And he's working all the time and got a tremendous burden for people and for the work of the Lord. And I want you to know I really appreciate you, Roy. And I want all of you to know that I am behind him and behind our pastoral staff and behind Calvary Gospel Church and what we are accomplishing and what we will continue to accomplish here in Dane County. God bless you. You may be seated. I want to speak on the subject, give me the whole story. I remember years ago, My dear friend David Fuller from Waco, Texas, I don't think he was pastoring in Waco then, but he was over in Minneapolis. He came to see us, our family, on some holiday. And Brother Fuller was trying to get a school bus, going to start the bus ministry. So we all loaded in his car. He had two boys, and then I think one of them stayed behind. His youngest boy went with us, and my son Steve wanted to go. Well, I didn't want Steve to go. I liked to spend time with Steve, but he was just all over the car. We bought a pair of jeans, new blue jeans for him one time. And he sat in the front seat. That's when we had, you know, those bench seats, a new car we had. And it had white leather seats in it, actually kind of a cream color. By the time we got where we were going and took him out, the whole seat cover was stained blue because he wiggled so much. And when we sold that car several years later, it still had blue front seat, at least in the middle. We couldn't get it out. Well, what the deal was, Brother Vern Washburn, when you pray, make sure you pray for him because he's had some problems with his heart. He's doing a lot better now. But he came by the house one time. He was a good one just to stop in, just stop, knock on the door, you know. So I still remember when they came, we were going to get some ice cream out. And we didn't. We didn't have enough for them. So Sister Grant just told us, said, well, I'm going to put this back because there's not enough. You know, the Washburns had quite a few kids. And they come in, and the first thing Steve said was, you know, we don't have enough ice cream for you guys. And he wanted to know what we were Anyway, he told a joke about a chihuahua that knew karate. I'm not going to take time to tell this. It's just, it's a long joke and a complicated one. And so when we were going up to look at the school buses, Steve was in there, and he says, Brother Fuller, I want to tell you a joke. Now, the thing that was so funny about this was that every time Steve told it, and he told it to everybody he saw, he left part of it out. And so a joke that would take normally 3 or 4 minutes, he's taking like 30 seconds. And he just laughed and laughed. He told Brother Fuller that joke, and he just laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed. And he looked at Brother Fuller because Brother Fuller didn't laugh. He didn't know what the joke was all about. He said, you don't think it's funny? Brother Fuller says, Steve, I'm sorry. I guess I don't get it. Steve stopped laughing, and he got real serious. He looked at Brother Fuller, and he says, you know, I never could get that joke either. Oh, my. And the reason why that Steve didn't get it, he didn't understand all the details. And the reason why that Brother Fuller didn't get it is because Steve didn't tell him all the details. You've no doubt seen many movies and read the account of people being sworn in to court. And what happens is the person swearing them in, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Or a lot of Christians, they refrain from using the word swear, so they promise or they affirm. But the jails have, in prisons, have quite a few people sitting in prison or in a jail cell locked up because the whole truth never got out. They maintained their innocency, but the whole truth never got out. Now, there was a segment of the truth that got out, but they were convicted on the segment of truth, not the whole truth. The word truth appears in the King James Bible 237 times, and there are many other words associated with the word truth. So what we want to speak on this morning is give me the whole story. The Pharisees in Mark 7, verse 1 through 9, we're running a little short on time, so I won't read all of this. I would like to read verse 7, 8, and 9. But I'll give you the story of it. The Pharisees and certain scribes came to Jerusalem, and they saw the disciples of the Lord purchasing bread. And these men were very, very hungry, so they just pulled off a piece of it and ate it. And the scribes and the Pharisees, they didn't wash their hands. You know how you do your little one? So this account is not against washing your hands. But what it is saying that you do not defile the soul by eating with dirty hands. That's not how you defile the soul. But you see, somewhere along the road, or down the road, they began to teach things that were good, but not necessarily the commandments of the Lord. So as a result, they compiled a book. And in their book of commandments, which were originally just the traditions of men, they begin to teach these as the commandments of God. So they were ignoring truth. In verse 7, Jesus said, "Howbeit, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Now see, when we worship the Lord, according to John 4:24, we must worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Now I think in the context of this, when it says in spirit, it means God likes spiritual worship. But he also likes this element of truth in it. So, do you know who Jesus Christ is when you say, "I'm worshiping him"? Now, Jesus was concerned when he walked among us as to what the disciples thought of him. Whom do men say that I am? And then what do you think? Because sometimes the religious people are not the ones that know the truth or have the truth. In verse 8, he says, "For laying aside the commandments of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as of the washing of pots and cups and many others, such like things ye do." And he said unto them, "Full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition." I became quite well acquainted with the mayor of a city that I pastored in. And so I was witnessing to him one day. It was nobody in the place of business. He was also a businessman. No one in there but us. So I took the opportunity to witness to him. And we had developed quite a relationship. His mother was coming to our church all of which he was not too happy about. But she said she was a Sunday school teacher at this big steeple, few people church in town. And she had to come out to our place to get some fire, she said. and that she would do. She would actually dance in the Spirit. At this time, that church was teaching that dancing in the Spirit was of the devil. Speaking in tongues was of the devil. And most churches don't do that anymore. Because in recent years, there's so many people of various denominations speaking in tongues that churches kind of lay off of that now. But he said, you know, you may be right, Pastor. But he said, you know that church up there? My grandfather and my dad and I was just a little kid then, we poured the cement. Now, we had other help, but I think it was his grandfather, his father, one that was a cement contractor. We poured the cement. And we built that church. And he said, you know, whether this church is right or wrong, really doesn't matter to me. He said, I was born in that church, and I'm going to die in that church. I'm happy with it. I said, you mean even if it doesn't teach the truth? He said, well, I don't ever hear anything preached that I can't find in the Bible. I said, it's true, but have you looked in the Bible to find out if all of the truth is being preached? Because he contended that as long as what they preached was truth, then it didn't make any difference whether it was complete truth or not. This is the reason why that sometimes you'll hear of a person 15, 16 years after their trial, they found DNA evidence now proves that this person is innocent. I don't know what it's like to be in prison. Brother Hawk talks about this quite a bit. I've never been in a jail cell ever. And I certainly have been in prison. I visited there up at Wall Pond. It's a scary thing, you know, to go in there. They search you and you go into this one little area and they close the door behind you. And there's cameras and they search you and then they open the other door and let you go through. Then you walk out to the chapel and it's just guys that just stop and just stare. It's a scary thing. So that's as close as I have been, but I can't feature 16 years falsely accused, knowing full well that all the truth never came out. Because the whole story was never told. And I find that in the religious world today, that's what's happening. People are preaching Jesus, but they're not preaching 100% of him. So when you find the word truth in the Bible, it's not talking about a percentage of truth. It's talking about full truth. See, the thing about truth, it's factual. You know, the thing about facts, they are very stubborn. They don't alter. They don't change. Because it's factual. It's truth. Proverbs the 23rd chapter verse 23 talks about buying this truth and selling it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. There's certain things that you come to a knowledge of, and you better hold on to it. You realize how many people in the Bible that just over a period of time, they just didn't take their relationship with the Lord seriously, and they backslid. Over and over and over and over and over, you find this. Galatians 6, verse 1. Galatians 1, verse 6, I'm sorry. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Now, we'll talk about the gospel here in a few minutes, but the Galatians, how can somebody know the truth and alter themselves from it? Well, it's because that they don't preach a whole truth. And when they don't preach the whole truth, after a while, the percentage of the truth gets cut down, cut down, cut down, cut down, cut down, until after a while, they have removed themselves. And then, of course, Galatians 1, verse 8. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. So if an angel comes by and preaches something contrary to the Bible, what do? You don't listen to him, do you? You may say, you mean to tell me that an angel would have the ability? Well, first place, you have to understand that the angels that were created by God that assist the Lord today, their basic responsibility, job description, was never to preach the gospel. But there were a third of all the angels that went with Lucifer. And their job is to bring deception. They are liars. And Satan is a father of lies. When they were kicked out of heaven, Jesus said concerning Satan, he said, "Behold, I saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven." In other words, you see a falling star or you see a lightning. And what he's saying is the light went out. And when the light went out, then they chose to lie. Do you know that Satan can't do anything to you without express permission from God but lie to you? But do you realize how damaging lying can be, especially if you believe it? Now, for an example, church always has one or two gossips. You know, they just love to spread ill will. Now, you have to understand, a person who is always gossiping, they get their story wrong all the time. And the reason why is because their motive is not to spread goodwill, but bad will. So if your motive is not right, you're going to end up spreading ill will. So what happens is that there can be someone in the church that maybe there was some kind of a rumor started by someone. I know in the church in Longview, there was a rumor started that a brother was seen drinking beer at 7-Eleven. That's like PDQ or Stop and Go. And that's back when pop was first put in cans. You remember when it was all in bottles? And a lady gets up in the church in Longview. And this brother was in attendance. And she's going to testify. That's when we had a lot of tests. She says, "And the devil is in this church. And he's in some of these people. I saw this brother in 7-Eleven and he was drinking beer." He was. Well, what is the pastor supposed to do? You know. This brother stands up right while she talks. Hold it a minute. That wasn't beer I was drinking. That was pop. She turned around and said, was it? And he said, yes. She said, it doesn't matter. It was in a can. She goes, oh my. So but you can see how damaging things like that can be. See. So if you want revival in a church, always, always say truthful things about people. Because the church itself is founded upon truth. Jesus says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The truth also sets us free. John 8:32, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But the truth is not just a word or two about Jesus, it's all of him. The whole story is what sets you free. 1 Corinthians 15, and I think it's only right that we speak about the gospel. The gospel is labeled in the scripture as the good news. And you see the difference between the gospel and the gossip. The gospel is the good news. The gossip is what? The bad news. Yeah. The bad news. Let's say it together. The bad news. But 1 Corinthians 15, moreover, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you're saved, if you keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, and that he was buried, and that he arose, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then at the 12. After that, he was seen above by 500 brethren at once. Now, the gospel is what? The death, the burial, and the resurrection. Is that right? Okay. The death, the burial, and the resurrection. Christ died, he was buried, and he arose. The reason why that Jesus instructed the apostles, and the reason why that they preached on the day of Pentecost, be baptized, everyone, repent first. That is possible for you to repent because Jesus Christ died. Repentance is the death. It's the breaking of the strongholds. It's the forgiving of people. It's clearing yourself, making yourself clean. It's turning around. It's going the other direction. That's what repentance is. But his death made that possible because our sin was nailed to his cross. We're crucified with him, Paul says. And then he was baptized. So what do you do with dead people? You bury them, don't you? There's always a concern, you know, somebody dies and they're going to hold the funeral like 3 weeks later. And oh, yeah, they're going to have an open casket and everything. You see, that may be a little bit too long to keep people out. Now, if it is too long, somebody makes a mistake, it's not going to be too complimentary for the person that has passed. So, when people repent, they need to get baptized. They need to be buried. And then, of course, when they are buried in baptism and they come up out of the water, they rise to newness of life. That's when they receive, or can receive, they don't all receive, but they can receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So the death, the burial, and the resurrection, as it applies to you, is repentance, baptism, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. This is when you take on Christ. That's when you associate yourself with Jesus. Now, any other gospel, it's just part of the story. So you may say, well, I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. You think you should? Yes. Well, then I'm saved. Well, wait a minute. That is not the complete story. And if I know my Bible like I think I know my Bible, no doubt many people right now in the lake of fire in hell, because they believe the Lord Jesus Christ in part, but they never really looked at the whole story. And truth is the whole story. So basically, we need to believe the truth. We need to follow the truth. We need to share the truth. That is the whole story. Give me something I can live by, but also give me something I can die by. A great church is when everyone is on the right page. Zechariah 8 verse 3 talks about a city that's called truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Talking about when Jesus comes back to reign on the earth. Revelation 2, verse 4, talking about church at Ephesus. Ephesus was the original church. And Ephesus believed in the truth, had the truth, and they wouldn't tolerate people that didn't preach the doctrine. The only thing is, you know, there's parts of the truth that's tangible and there's parts that's intangible. Your relationship with God will determine in time the acceptance of God of that relationship. For an example, you are to love the Lord with all of your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength, with every fiber you have in you. This is the first and the greatest of all commandments. But look what happened to Ephesus. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. So, if Calvary Gospel Church continues to preach repentance, water baptism in Jesus' name, and then filling of the Holy Ghost, if we continue to preach and believe holiness standards for Christians, that's great. But what if we reach a place where we're not really enthused about God? That the love that we had for him is just, it's just not there. Do you know what the Lord said he was going to, you know what he required them to do? He says, repent. Go back and do your first works. Now, if you don't repent, I will remove your candlestick. That is the light that you have. I'll remove it all. Because you see, What the problem is with you folks is that this book has many chapters, and you believe most all of them, but you've got several chapters in there about your relationship with God that you don't read anymore. And you preach Christ for contention's sake. In the book of Philippians, you know, Paul says some people preach Christ for contention's sake. In other words, they know they can win an argument by preaching Jesus. They know they can win an argument. But Paul says, don't you think you ought to preach Christ for love's sake? Isn't that a more effective way? Because you love people, not because you want to win an argument. And so the Lord says, now look, you're leaving out part of this story. And when you witness to people, it's not all there. Because it's not altogether what they hear, but it's what they feel. On the Beatitudes, those are attitudes that you should be. But isn't it true that you need to first be something before you do something? While doing is necessary, you've got to be something. I tell you what, I want to... Peter talks about people who wrest the Scripture, W-R-E-S-T, which means twist the Scripture. I want truth, because with truth I can overcome hurts, I can overcome habits, I can overcome all my hang-ups. Praise God. I'd like for you to stand with me at this time. My time is up. I'd like for the praise singers to come. John 8:32, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. But you stay free only by adherence to the whole story. You can't expect the correct response by leaving out so many things from the story that God has ordained. So I'm saying, give me the whole story. Do you want the whole story? You want the whole truth? The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Because it's the whole truth and nothing but the truth that's going to keep me free. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So as our praise singers began to sing, if you need a healing, come and stand over here. We'd like for our ministers all to come down to the front. Then if you have problems and you need prayer, you need someone to help you, come and stand in front of the pulpit here. And if you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost, just come over here and stand at your right. Come on right now. Come on right now. Come on.